Where have you been, Kennedy?
Kia ora, Catherine. I have been in the far north at the part of the land they call the Tale of the Fish. And it's been a long time since I was there. In fact, I think the last time, maybe more than 10, maybe 15 years ago, one New Year's Eve, I said to my daughter, what are you doing New Year's Eve? You're going to a party? What are you up to? She said, let's go camping, Dad. So we jumped in the vehicle and headed as far north as you can go. I wanted to show her the dunes behind Cape Maria van Diemen. It's the westernmost of the three capes of the far north, the one that everyone knows and goes to, Te Rerenga Wairua or Cape Raenga, in the centre, and then North Cape, which is a scientific reserve I've been lucky enough to go to twice. But it's a strange and unusual place. And then Cape Maria with its wonderful dunes. And so we walked down Twilight Beach, which is just the beach south of Cape Maria, and watched the year's last sun slip into the Tasman and camped there. And I hadn't been back. And one reason I wanted to go back now is that August the 1st is the birth date, anniversary date of the 100th anniversary of the birth of a great modern poet. Well, he was a poet as well, painter, Colin McCann. And it was particularly one of his paintings, one of his sets of paintings called The Northland Panels, which had been in my mind for, you know, a year or more. I'll tell you about why. But those panels, let me take you back to 1958. McCann had just returned to Auckland after an intensive tour of the United States, where he'd been greatly inspired by the work of Jackson Pollock, Mark Rothko, Willem de Kooning, and particularly inspired by the size of some of their works you had to walk past. You couldn't take them in a single glance. You needed to interact with them, to explore them, to become part of the meaning and the process with which they came to be. And he came back home to Titirangi, bush-clad Titirangi, feeling, I think, confined and a little claustrophobic. Possibly, he wrote that it was cold and dripping and shut in. And he said he fled north in memory, bursting for the wide open spaces. And in one single afternoon, he produced 8 paintings that he called the Northland Panels. He painted them with house paint, house enamel paint, on recycled canvases from unfinished works that he just grabbed, I guess, from around his studio. And it, when you look at those panels, and I've included a link, you can have a look at the panels. It is as if the painter just tipped his memory onto the canvas, and particularly it's the colours of the north, the kikuyu green of farm pasture, bursts of rust red clay that split through the skin of the land up there. The black volcanic rock, and I think also the black of the trunks of manuka, when it has the fungi on it, you walk through manuka and it's so black in there, and then the blues of ocean and of wetland and of sky. And McCann had a deep love of the far north. He wrote, "Up there is like standing on a moon. It is unlike any other part of the land. I can't talk about it. I love it too much. This place, all sculpted by wind and rain, is somewhere to bury your heart. And as it goes deeper into the land, you can only follow." He wrote some beautiful things about this part of the country. One memory, coming at it the other way, not from the land but from the sea. He was obviously on a passage from somewhere, perhaps from Australia, and he said, "I stood with an old Maori lady on a boat from Australia once." Oh, yes, there it was, Australia. "A terribly rough and wild passage. We were both on deck to see the three kings, us dripping tears. It's there that this land starts." So he was very he was very attached to that land, and it informed his love of land and the way he began to work with land. And people who know McCann's work, and I'm only a beginner on such matters, they say that the Northland panels was something of a turning point. And in what was happening was that McCann was not content to represent the land or even interpret the land, but to bear witness to it, to meet it in vibrant encounter and let it speak. And that's what the rest of his life, his paintings became more and more abstract, more and more minimal, more and more trying to feel the pulse of the land. He wrote about that, to make a painting beat like and with a human heart, and that's what he was doing. Now, one of those panels has the words that I've been thinking about a lot, and the words that he scrawled in thick brush strokes on the canvas are "a landscape with too few lovers." And it frustrated McCann that many of his fellow Pākehā New Zealanders regarded landscapes with utilitarian indifference, and he felt they endangered the land by taking it for granted. And landscapes, he thought, need the protection, not just of laws, but of loving hearts. And McCann later gave the name "necessary protection" to some of the drawings and paintings he was creating. So I carried that thought with me, and I wanted to go back up to those dunes of Cape Moriah where I'd been before, I suppose to show that I was one who loved this landscape. Some of the things on the Moriah Dunes that I'd remembered from long ago, it's an extraordinary place. You can find, I guess there might be millions of them there. You just find them here and there, the subfossil shells of the flax snail, Placostylus, which just is lying on the sand, usually filled with sand grains, bleached white. And it's a reminder of this very interesting changing landscape, that once there were no dunes and the islands were separate, and then they were joined by sand moving up the coast of the west coast of New Zealand, and these sand spits that began to connect the dots, if you will, were called tombolos. And then there would have been a long history, a long period when they were covered with forest, and then the sands moved again and smothered the forest. And so these flax snails would have lived in a forest up there, and now they're smothered. So you have this wonderful sense of time, deep time. A friend was telling me that about 20 million years ago, a huge event, rock from the seafloor up near Fiji migrated and covered the entirety of Northland. So we were dealing with extremely interesting, mobile, changing landscapes, and it's lovely to be part of that. And particularly one of the places I wanted to visit was an outcrop of red clay behind Twilight Beach, which some locals call Red Mountain. And it is just a strange place with smoothly contoured and also some jagged pinnacles of red clay that protrude up through the land, and it's old iron deposit, mineralized deposits from ancient times that have ended there and formed these clay deposits. So I went there one morning and just watched the sun come up and bathe the red clay of that red mountain, and then walked back up Twilight Beach watching the colloquies of oyster catchers, a bird that I've for a long time called Manu Korero, from the poem by Sana Murray, the talking bird, because they strike me as like philosophers walking around on the slick sand of the beaches there. So there you are. That's
beautiful
what I've
images,
been doing.
Kennedy. It's an extensive gallery today.
I got excited. You did? It is such a wonderful place, and I'm glad. It's amazing the number of people that you see going up to Cape Reinga. I mean, I was surprised. They've done a lovely job of that since I was there last, just turning what was, I think, a fairly straight track into a meandering encounter with lovely interpretation panels. And no wonder so many people feel mesmerized and drawn by that place. Mm. So, anyway,
lovely.
The far
north. Thank you, as always, Kennedy Warne. And there is a gallery of images of where he's been and the subject he's discussing on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/9 to noon.